You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Awesome. Hey, you may take your seats. And if you love the band so much that you just can't wait for them to come back, don't worry, I'll be about 25 or so minutes and then they'll be back up here, all right? So they'll be right back up. Yeah, that'll be good news. Awesome. Hey, if you're new here, I just want to say thanks for visiting. Thanks for coming to Eternity Church today. I'm Jesse Newman. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm glad you're here. And, you know, actually, I was thinking about that this week, this whole, you know how every week we say it, because we mean it, right? We always say to the new people, hey, we're glad you're here. And we mean it. We really are glad you're here. And we want you to know that we want you to feel welcome here. In fact, we've got a gift for you out in the lobby out there. Fill in the connection card that you got when you come in this morning. If you didn't get one, there's plenty at the connection lounge. And you run out there, meet Pastor Christy. She'll give you a t-shirt just to say thanks for coming to church. But I was thinking about that, and you know what? I'm glad you're all here, right? Not just the new people. There are people who come every single week. And I want you to know that I am glad that you're here as well. I'm glad that this is your home church. I'm glad you found a home here, a place to worship together, to grow together, to encourage each other, and to pray together. Amen? And it is good to have a home church, isn't it? Amen? Isn't it good to have found a place to worship every week? Is that good? Yeah, I'm finding it good in my life, right? I just couldn't imagine doing life without all of you. So God bless you. I love you. Love you heaps and heaps. So, and we're doing prayer series at the moment, as I said. And it's January. We'll do prayer for all of January. We'll pray all year, but we'll preach about it all of January, okay? And so last week we talked about the favor of God. But that was an awesome setup, because it's really important to understand what the person's response will be before you go ask, right? We know before we ask God that we have His favor, right? Before we approach God in prayer, we know that He's listening and that He's eager to help us, right? God wants to help you. So that's a super important thing to understand. So this week we're going to explore a bit more about the asking and how God views you. Not just that you have His favor, but what does He think about you, and what He thinks about you will produce in your life. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for the privilege of preaching at this pulpit. God, I just pray that you would continue to inspire my words, Lord, and that you would help me to deliver your message. God, I pray for everyone in the church that you would help us all to have ears that aren't just here, but ears that are listening and receiving your word. Help us to understand it in a way that will actually bring change to our lives and specifically to our prayer lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So we have, I have four kids, as you know, Lauren and I have four kids. We just couldn't figure out why we keep having kids. And so we kept having kids, and we have made a definitive decision that there will be no more kids. And so, which is great news, hey babe, we're real pumped about that, but we're so excited about that. But we love the four we've got. Now, what we've done is every single time we have a kid, they all have this blanket or a blankie or something like that that they snuggle with and they go to sleep. Now, Eli's is like the jankiest one out of all of them, right? It's janky, it's disgusting, and it's tiny. So obviously all of his focused little sweaty boy love goes onto this tiny little square. His is tiny, right? It's about that square, and it has a head on it, and it's a dog, right? And so Eli has named it Woofy, all right? He's named it Woofy. Woofy's important to him. And one day, Eli couldn't find Woofy. One day, lots of days, Eli can't find Woofy. For something so stinking important to him, it gets lost a lot, right? And but this one particular time, he just couldn't find it anywhere, and he enlisted his hero's help, his mum. And so, no, he enlisted my help on this occasion, and I don't know where Lauren was, because you don't ask him, you know, if a boy can't find something, the least productive thing you could do is ask a man to try and find something, right? And so clearly Lauren was obviously not home at the time. And so he comes to me and finally says, hey, Dad, I think it's time that we pray for Woofy. And I'm like, all right. Now, some of you are thinking, pray for a blanket? Y'all are crazy. Yeah, we're crazy at the Newman House. And so I said, all right, Eli, you go ahead. I'll agree. You just pray. So it's a really simple prayer for kids. I love kids' prayers. They're always like, who I'm talking to, what I want, amen, right? And so Eli's like, dear God, I really need Woofie. Please help me find him in Jesus' name. Amen, right? Real simple. Now, I know that what he's saying is, God, help me look in the right spot. Show me where it is. Lead me there. And, you know, like, we'll say that like 12 different ways thinking. So this is how we adults will pray this prayer, right? Dear God, Heavenly Father, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, the one who knows all, sees all, and can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I really love Woofie, the square dog, the blanket thing, that one I slept with all of my life. I really love it. It makes me feel good and special. I like the way it feels on my cheek. Would you help me find him? Lead me to him. Show me where he is. Shine a light on him. In the name of Jesus Christ, you know, your son, the one who came to earth and died on the cross so that we might have eternal life, salvation, but life now also abundantly. I pray in his name. Amen. Which means, so be it, get it done. Thank you, Jesus. It's all good. And now let's go find him. Now, God, just in case you didn't catch that, what I was saying was, and blah, 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 right? And we think God doesn't speak our language. And so we go through every single thing. No, not with Eli. I love Woofie. Please help me find Woofie in Jesus' name. Amen. That's sometimes enough, right? Now, it's okay to share your heart with God. I got no problem with that, right? Share your heart with God. And sometimes you just want to keep going and go, and that's fine, right? But sometimes I'm just like, I'm going to be specific with God. I'm going to tell him, God, this is what I need. I know you can do it. Please do it in Jesus' name. Amen, right? So Eli was in trouble. He'd never slept a single night without Woofie. Right? Not one night. Seriously, this is weird, I know. Not a single night. He'd never, ever slept. See, we did the whole Pavlov's dog thing to our kids. Right? If anyone know the story of Pavlov's dogs? Pavlov, right? Yeah. So what he did was, he was trying to get elicit certain reactions and train dogs a certain way. He was studying psychology, right? And so what he'd do is, he'd make a certain noise as he entered the room. And when he made that noise, the dogs began to realize it meant they're getting fed, right? And so they just begin to salivate, you know, like dripping saliva everywhere. And they noticed that you could train people by a noise, and they could, you know, and subconsciously they would just, something would happen in their hearts, right? And so I studied psychology, so I'm decided I'm going to do that to my kids. And so every single time they went to bed or got tired, we'd give them, like, quick, give them the blanket. Quick, give them the blanket, right? And so then anytime we wanted our kids to go to sleep, we'd just give them the blanket. It really did work, you know, for a few years. And, you know, we'd give Judah one and give Eli one. We'd be driving in the car. We'd be like, they'd be going crazy. Like, just, where's the blanket? So we'd give them the blanket, and all of a sudden they'd be yawning and get sleepy, and they'd fall asleep, right? So we totally Pavlov dogged our kids. So obviously Eli wanted that blankie back. Obviously we wanted him to have it back, right? And guess what? He walks out of his room, looks on the floor, and there's the dog. There's Woofie right there, right? Now, you might say, that's not a very important thing. Well, Eli wanted him back, right? You might think that prayers like, hey, God, I really love Woofie. I need my Woofie. Please give him back. Please help me find him. You might think that prayers like that are a waste of time. But for a five-year-old, Woofie is about as important as things get, right? Right? For a five-year-old, it's about, like, if you lost your car, you'd be freaking out, right? Right? I dare say that for a five-year-old, Woofie's more important than that car, right? You can sleep without your car. This kid can't sleep without Woofie, right? If you lost your car, not because someone stole it, but because, you know, you misplaced it, I reckon you might go, God, I need your help right now, right? See, it's not a stupid thing to pray about. I think it's crazy when we teach kids you shouldn't pray about that. God doesn't care. Come on, God cares about what you care about. And they care about that woofie, right? So I'm teaching my kids, anything in your heart that bothers you, anytime you're in trouble, you can go and ask God, because God wants to help you. Amen? James 5, 13 to 20. Here's our scripture for the day. Is anyone among you in trouble? Well, there you go, right? Turns out the prayer about woofie is all right. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. I want to pause for a moment. The whole, oh, they're sick, they must have sin. Excuse me, this just says they'll be forgiven. They'll be forgiven, right? They'll be forgiven. Pray for them, they'll be forgiven. Don't worry about that. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray over each other that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Come on, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Verse 17, Elijah was a human being. There you go. Even as you and I are. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now, brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. What a wonderful scripture. I got 4 or 5, I can't remember how many, points, all right? I know it's not 20 or anything like that, so don't stress, don't freak out. Now, I've got some points I want to share with you about this. The first one is incredible. Changed my view on things. I've been thinking this one line all week. Now, my sermon was about something else, and it's still in there, and it's awesome and powerful, and I want you to remember it. But I couldn't get past this one line. Is anyone among you in trouble? See, it didn't ask, are you in trouble? Luke, are you in trouble? Jed, are you in trouble? Steph, are you in trouble? It said, is anyone among you in trouble? I thought about this for so long, over and over. Thought that maybe I'm supposed to be thinking about if anyone else is in trouble. That maybe I should be thinking if someone around me in my life is in trouble and in need, hey? That I should be thinking about my family, my connect group, my men's group, my friends, the people in the church, the people I've heard about, the people who've called up. Started thinking about the people in my life, if any of them are in trouble. Not just in trouble with the cops, although that would be included in this, right? But people who are in some form of trouble. Do you know anyone in your connect group? We're going to do a show of hands right now. Just to see who this verse is talking to, all right? Do you, all right? If you know someone in a moment, I'll tell you when, put your hand up in a moment. Do you know anyone in your connect group or in your circle of friends or in your family or in this church that's in need of help? Put your hand up. Oh, how about that? So this message is for you. Glad we figured that out. Uncertain of what to do, needing direction, needing healing, needing something in their life, this says, let them pray. What's this let them pray mean? Like, surely people weren't like standing there holding people back going, stop praying, don't pray. Don't pray, Jed. Don't you pray, Jed, not in church. Come on now, right? That's not what this is talking about. There wasn't someone standing there, arms crossed, trying to block people from praying. That's not why it said let them pray. It's let them pray. It says don't hinder someone from prayer. Don't stop someone. Don't hold back. Create a culture where not only are you not stopping people from praying, but create a culture where it's okay to go and get prayer. Create a culture in your life. Look for people who need prayer. Take them, pray for them. Take them to the front. Get the pastors, get the elders, get people to pray for them. What are you doing to let them pray? What are you doing to let them pray? In your life, when you become aware that someone's in need, someone needs God to come and intervene in their lives, what are you doing about that? Do we say the old, what I say is a cheap prayer, the, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. What's that? You have cancer? I'll pray for you. Sweet, catch you later. Usually, what in my experience, I'll pray for you means this is getting uncomfortable for me. So I'll pray for you seems like a super nice spiritual way to walk away from this and not pray for you ever, right? Now, I know many of you are not like that at all, and you say, I'll pray for you, and I know that you walk away and you do pray for me, right? But for a lot of us, and for me even in the past, it was an excuse to end an uncomfortable conversation. I'll pray for you. She left you? What? Oh, man. Can you stay at my... I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Come on, I want to be the kind of person that finds out about someone like that, and I'm encouraging an atmosphere of prayer. Not only am I going to stop and pray for them at that time, come on now, I want to actually pray. I want to actually encourage them to pray, and I also want to try to bring them to church so the leaders and pastors can pray for them as well. Amen? I think I told you once before, I had heart surgery when I was 17 or 18. I can't really remember when. You know, I was unconscious for a couple of years, so... Not really. No way any drug could knock me out. No way anything could knock me out for 2 years. I'm way too hyperactive for that. I had heart surgery, but leading up to it, I was starting to freak out, you know? It wasn't necessarily the whole God, you know, it's hard to explain, but I started to get this fear, not only that I'm just going to die, you know, because like someone's going to rip my heart out of my chest and cut it open, because that's kind of intense, you know. It is in my life anyway. I feel like that's intense. And I felt like it was intense at that time, and that's exactly what they did to me. But I was also starting to feel like, God, why haven't you done this? Why has the doctor got to take care of this? You know what I mean? Why have we got to this point at this time? And because I was like that, I couldn't do anything. I didn't want to go down the front. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want prayer. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to do anything. But my auntie Gail, she noticed that I was in trouble, that I needed God's help. So she came and she got me and she took me to the altar and she prayed for me. Uncle Ben prayed for me. Pastor Ron prayed for me. And he ended it with this, and I'll never forget it. God, fill Jesse with that perfect love that casts out all fear. God, fill Jesse with that perfect love that casts out all fear. And I walked away from that place having borrowed their faith, you know? Having borrowed the measure of faith. See, they were really filled with faith, those people. They knew I wasn't going to die. They knew that God had my back, but I was freaking out. So I borrowed their faith. I walked away feeling renewed again. See, I was in trouble and someone else noticed. I want to know, do you notice? Right? See, sometimes we notice and it gets uncomfortable and we want to leave. But do you notice and then act when someone needs help? When someone in your life, in your connect group, in your family is in trouble, what do you do about it? Do you just hear them, but then not offer the presence and the power of God in their lives? What I want to do is I want to pray for them right then and there. We're at McDonald's, I don't care. Yes, we ate McDonald's yesterday. I know it's a sin. I did it anyway. And I'll do it again. I do it once every 4 years. I'll pray for them at McDonald's. I'll pray for them at Homemakers. I'll pray for you wherever we are and you tell me you got a need. So be careful where you tell me you're in trouble, all right? Because I'm going to pray. Then I'm going to encourage you to keep praying about it. And then I'm going to encourage you to be at church on Sunday so that we can pray for you again. So you can come into an atmosphere of faith where people believe in God for big things and will come and pray for you. Amen? Having noticed and taking action, amen? Take notice and take action, all right? That's what we want to do. Be the sort of people that look around and notice when someone's in trouble, amen? Second one is rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. I do love it in Scripture when it says rejoice. Often it says rejoice. I say again, rejoice, rejoice. And I'm like, God wants us to rejoice. That's what I get out of that when he repeats himself a billion times, yeah? It says, is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Isn't this amazing? When someone is happy, when someone is blessed, when someone's flying high, and I don't mean Colorado high, I mean like happy, happy high, come on. When someone is flying high, let's get together with them, encourage them, and sing his praises, amen? How many times do you know people when they come to God absolutely broken, and they say, hey God, I need your help. So God comes into their lives, put them, all the pieces of their lives back together, makes a masterpiece out of them, and all of a sudden they're doing really well. And only a couple of short years later, all of a sudden they've forgotten that the reason they're doing well is God, and there's just, they come to church now once a month. Then maybe it's once every 6 weeks, without remembering that the reason their life is back together is because God knit them back together. Amen. I want to be the sort of person that reminds people to, hey, praise God for that. Hey, thank God for that. I want to be the sort of person who's thanking God for the things in my own life, amen, so that other people around me realize that we should be thanking God for the blessings in their lives. Scripture says to enter his gates with thanksgiving in your hearts. Every time I come to God, I want to thank him for stuff. I want to thank him for what he's done. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Do you ever feel like sometimes winning is frowned upon? It does my head in. My kid will never get a participation trophy. I'll burn that thing. It's okay to lose, right? It's okay to lose sometimes. You lost, buddy. It's all good. Just don't quit, right? I teach my kids, just don't quit. Lose, that's cool. Don't quit. Even better is trying to win. Even better is winning, right? But sometimes I feel like winning or something good going on in your life is like a bad thing, right? Hey, something good happened in my life. Oh, it's terrible. Don't tell too many people. They'll get jealous. You know that kind of feeling? Scripture says to rejoice with those who rejoice. Now, we're getting real good at mourning with those who mourn, right? Someone's had a rough day. We're gonna pray for them. We're going to cry with them. We're just going to sit and listen if that's what they need. But when someone's winning, it's so easy to just cut them down, right? Just to go, man, I want what they've got. They must have cheated to get there, right? Because I'm not there yet, right? And Scripture says to rejoice with those people. Every single time Jed and Christy have a win, I want to be like, yeah, come on, that's awesome, right? I want to be rejoicing and clapping and singing. Come on, that's good news. And I hope that they're rejoicing and praising God. I don't want to feel ashamed of being blessed. You always hear these stories about people who are given something to bless them, but they're afraid of others seeing it because of being accused, and so they hide it in their garage or something. Sounds a little bit like the man in the Bible, doesn't it, who God gave him something. He was given something from the master, and he buried it. He hid it, right? Hid that thing, afraid to lose it. In your case, it might be afraid of people judging you, but fear will stop you. Fear will make you do dumb things, right? Like bury something in the ground that should be a blessing in your life, right? Come on now, if you've been blessed, get out there. Don't become all cocky and all like, hey, look at me, I'm the best person on the planet. But come on, be out there saying, come on, look what God's done in my life, yeah? Amen. I used to be like this, and God brought me over here, and guess what? He ain't even done with me yet. Amen. He's not even done with me yet. You know, when I first bought Lauren the Suburban, we bought a Chevy Suburban, right? And which is an awesome car when you have a tribe of midgets. It's really good. One day I just got absolutely fed up with the minivan, right? Number one, I never wanted a minivan anyway. Why? I'm a man. Come on now. And you want to talk? If you're not into stereotypes, then leave, because I am with the minivan. There is something that I heard a joke once that said, when a man drives a minivan, he's telling the world, hey, look at me. I've had my kids. I'm waiting to die. Well, I said, no more. No more minivan. And I'd hated that thing from the day we got it. And one day I opened the back end again because they've got, you know, like a half inch of space to put stuff behind that third row. I opened that back end, this stroller fell out and hit me on the foot. And after a string of cuss words, but that was back before I decided to cuss a little less, if you remember. And after a string of cuss words, I'm like, stuff it. I'm buying a Suburban. So I drove that sucker straight out there to Schoenkirk that day. And I bought a Suburban. And it was good. Now, here's the thing. I was tempted. I'm not even lying. I was tempted to park it down the back of church so people wouldn't see it. Have you ever thought of doing dumb things like that? They've been so blessed, you know. Now, here's the thing. We're not always blessed. Sometimes we go through the highs and we go through the lows. But I tell you what, being a Christian, I've got way more blessing than I do cursing going on in my life. Amen. But I tell you what, I don't want to be the person who parks my Suburban down the back because I'm worried you might judge me for having a nice car. I don't want to be that sort of person. Here's the thing. I've done all right in my life so far. I was blessed enough to afford it. I was blessed by the deal I was given. So I decided I'm not going to be ashamed to be blessed. I'm not going to bury that sucker in the ground and let it rot. I'm going to park it up the front. And so I did. See, if God has blessed you, praise Him for it. If God has blessed you, praise Him for it. I got a friend who was given $1 million from his grandpa, all right? Just before his grandpa died, actually it was about 1.8 Australian, so what's that, like about 100,000 American? It was about 1.5 American or something like that. So he was given $1.5 million by his grandpa before he died. 15 years later, he still had $1.5 million. Just a fraction more because of interest and things like that. One day I asked him, dude, why do you, and he drove the world's worst car. The world's worst car is a Mitsubishi, or as I like to call them, a bits are missing. And so, because every single one comes off that assembly line with bits are missing. Every single one. So I asked him, why are you driving a bits are missing? Why are you doing this, mate? What's going on, dude? You've got a mil five. Now, here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with being frugal. Come on now. I want to be really smart with my money. I don't want to buy things just for the heck of buying things, right? But for him, it was a bigger thing. It wasn't about not buying things. For him, he told me, he goes, well, I just don't want to dishonor my grandfather with what he gave me. Now, I'm like, son, you're dishonoring him right now by burying that. He did not give you $1.5 million so that you could die with $1.5 million and have it not affect your life at all. That is the dishonoring. That is exactly like that guy said in this story, that where he buried it, hoping not to dishonor the master. And in doing so, dishonored him. And scripture says that he took what he gave him and gave it to the one with more. If God's blessed you, praise Him for it. Amen. If God's blessed you, praise. If I buy you a nice watch, like a really nice watch, put that thing on your wrist. Amen. I'm not going to feel honored if you leave it at home every day. Honor me by wearing it. I don't give gift receipts. Stupid idea. I will never give you a gift receipt. End of story. You'll get what you get. Amen. So put it on your wrist and honor me by wearing it. Amen. Amen. Someone said amen down the back there. Point number three. God still heals the sick. Did you catch that? Point number three, God still heals the sick. Now, I don't care what denominational ideas you might have. I don't care. I'm sticking with the Bible over your opinion every day of the week. Amen? And the Bible says that God still heals the sick. Amen? In fact, last week, a lady was healed in the second service. She emailed me about it. My back, and freedom. And I'm like, awesome. God still heals the sick. Amen. Praise God. God still heals the sick. If you don't believe me, email me so I can ignore it. Maybe I'll send you hundreds of scriptures and thousands of stories. Or maybe if it's a bad day, I'll just be like, what a peanut. Come on now. God still heals the sick, right? Can you say amen? Don't miss out on God's blessing and healing in your life because you heard some idea that's not in the Bible at all. Scripture says that God heals the sick. Scripture says that by Christ's stripes we are healed. That means that He was whipped and beaten and crushed and then whacked up on a cross so that you can have healing in your life. Come on now, that's good news. I don't want to hear some denominational idea of somebody that got an idea that stopped when Jesus died. Come on now, He is alive. And even if it did, by the way, He's alive. He's alive. Remember that story? Easter. Yeah, He's alive, all right? God still heals the sick. Turn to your neighbor and say, God still heals the sick. If anyone is among you who is sick, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. That's what the Word of God says. Can I get an amen as the band comes back up? And the last one, And the most important thing I want you to know today is this. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The scripture ends with that. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, who could that be talking about? Must be talking about me and Pastor Jed and Pastor Christy and Pastor Nathan and Pastor Ed and Pastor. It must be talking about us, right? Since we're the leaders here at the church, we must be the righteous person with the powerful and effective prayers. It must be us, don't you think, Jed? Must be us. No, it's talking about you. It's talking about you. Anyone in here believe in Jesus? Anyone in here believe in Jesus? Yeah, you do? Come on now. Good. I was like, man, I'm in the wrong church. I'm at the wrong religion. Anyone here ever repented of the things they've done wrong? You know, prayed a prayer saying, hey, God, I'm sorry for the stuff I've done wrong. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord God. Anyone ever done that? Anyone in here love Jesus? Yeah, anyone here love the Lord? Come on now. Yeah, give him a shout of praise. But right back to the start, do you believe in Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior? Scripture says that you are righteous. Why? Now, we all know that righteous means, well, we might not know if you don't know, being righteous means being right with God, right? Right with God. It means that that God doesn't see sin and messed up and jacked up stuff in my life. It means that I'm right with God, that I'm pure, right? See, God sees you as perfect, pure, and right with God right now because you know him, because you believe in him. Romans 3, 22 to 24 says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Anyone in here believe in Jesus again? Yeah. Anyone in here believe in Jesus, right? You all said yes three times now. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew or Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. This is you. You are righteous, and the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. Would you stand up with me?
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.